Hey, finally a bay for me to rely. Who are all these people in my bay? Get out of my bay!
I'm Marie Bernard, host of Synchronicity, talk radio for your mind, body, and soul. Join me Mondays at noon to start your week feeling uplifted and optimistic. Let's tap into the universal energy that connects us all. Synchronicity, talk radio for your mind, body, and soul. Mondays at noon on CITR 101.9 FM, Vancouver. Hello and welcome to Synchronicity, talk radio for your mind, body, and soul. I'm your host, Marie Bernard. This is CITR 101.9 FM here in Vancouver. You might also be listening online at CITR.ca, CosmicDimensions.com, EmpowerRadio.com, or on the Co-Creator Network. And happy Labor Day. If you're a freshman just joining us here at UBC, hello. Welcome to UBC. Hope that you're going to have a fabulous school year. And just to let you know that Synchronicity will be preempted for the next 2 weeks because of back to school stuff that's going on here at UBC. So stick around for that in the coming weeks, and I'll be back in like 3 weeks with your regularly scheduled programming. So the intro talks about the energy that connects us all. And today, Karen Elkins, I think we're going to be talking a little bit about that. My guest today is Karen Elkins, and she is the founder of Science to Sage. You can find her online at sciencetosage.com. And she's also author of the ebook Inside Out. And every month, Science to Sage puts out a fabulous online magazine that's like insane. I don't even know how she puts it all together. There's just so much material. But welcome to the show, Karen.
Thank you.
Thanks so much for being here.
Thanks for asking me.
She's actually here live at the station. I'm sitting across from her. I can see her face. It's fabulous. Usually the interviews are always over the phone, so it's really exciting to have you here. So let's talk about, there's so many things to talk about today. Let's talk about Science to Sage and how that came about.
Science to Sage came about with my absolute passion where science and spirituality met. And it was when I actually started a school for kids that were gifted, and many kids would come in with lots of interesting questions. And over the time, actually, and then I used to go to a gentleman here named Jeffrey Armstrong, and he was teaching me where East meets West. And it wasn't like I was learning, I felt like I was remembering. And then when somebody said to me, "My goodness, have you ever heard of Greg Braden?" And I said, "No." And I said, "Whoa." And so I actually listened to his tapes driving to my dad's house to Utah.
Tapes. So this was a little while ago then.
Oh, yeah, it was a while ago. Tapes. And it was amazing to me where I could see how things interconnected. And as I was creating the school for the kids, what I thought was interesting, because I did all the theme-based curriculums, and is how everything that we normally do within a system divides everything. We fracture everything. And when I was able to put things back together and integrate theme-based things where the kids could see the interconnectedness of things, but also who they were in relationship to all, school became relevant. School became important. And then I always added the creative aspect to that, because we are the creator. So when it says, "I am that I am," it is you creating you, you creating your world. God gave you your life for you to have your free will. And that when we say, "I am that," you are the radio host. And I am that right now. I am that. That is what I'm being, and that's what I'm creating in any given moment. So that is really what we're here to do, to be creators, to be self-expressed, to have an experience with all of our five senses. They're all been gifted to us for us to experience the very thought, the thoughts and the desires that we have. What else would we have them for?
Mm-hmm.
Right? So it is the I am that I'm creating in any given moment.
Well, it's interesting you mentioned the interconnectedness in schooling and how it's usually fractured and it isn't relevant, because that's one of the biggest questions that kids ask is, why am I even learning this?
Well, the way it's structured, it's by, you know, every teacher has their little segment, and they don't always necessarily interlace them with the other thing, and it is irrelevant, because even if you're studying something like World War II, they're going, "Well, you know, it's all war, why am I doing that?" Until you actually look at, actually, Hitler had one of the better sayings about it. It's not that we should be learning about history. We should be learning about the lessons about the history, the things that it taught us that we don't want to repeat.
Yeah. And you spend, in school, you spend so much time learning about the facts and the dates and memorizing all of that stuff that really doesn't matter, rather than taking home the actual lesson of what humanity learned, or hopefully
well,
learned.
The one thing we don't learn is who we are.
Mm-hmm.
And it's all about facts and figures and nothing about our own self-mastery. So then you have to ask yourself, what is education? And education should be about self-mastery. It should be about looking at the individual that we are, because not all of us are created the same. We're not all created equal. We all have been gifts that we've been endowed with in order to express and to be the best that we can be, but their individual is our fingerprints. And if you look at somebody like Bruce Lipton's work, his new stuff says your cell is your membrane, it's the remembering of you. And if you look at somebody like Michal Lathwit's work, he will say that orb is the signature of you that comes in. And so when you look at the cell outside in the universe to the cell that we have in our bodies, we are infinite, and we are the micro to the macro. What is above is below. It is within us. We have a universe within us in which to explore ourselves. And that's why the book that I have is called Inside Out. Everything goes from the inside out. We are a continual feedback loop. It is a mirror to us of our thoughts and the things that we engage with every day, the things that we choose, the people we choose to bring into our lives. All of those are mirrors of our imagining. Think of yourself as a battery pack. So imagine, you know, when you look at a battery, it has an energy field.
Mm-hmm.
It's very clear the Earth has one. You have one. Every living thing has one. That is your radio and your transducer to the world saying, "Hoo-hoo, here I am." And if I turn into your channel or I turn into the Bill Good Show, right, each one is a different frequency. So whatever we're emanating from that radiant energy that we are outflowing, that's what people are tuning into. They'll either like you or not like you. They either get your frequency or they don't get your frequency. So that doesn't mean that you're good or bad. It just means I'm just not going to play on that station. I don't like cowboy music. I like, you know, or I like, you know what I'm saying? You're going to pick your song.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, we all get so hooked up, too, on judgment.
Mm-hmm.
And when we get hooked up even on judgment, we're really not allowing somebody else to play their own tune. It has nothing to do with us. We don't have to evaluate it at all. We can just allow it to be, as long as we're just doing no harm. Right? So when you look at kids and you go back to the notion of education, kids have a right. They come in, and you know, it was so cute. You know, the kids would always come in, and they'd always have their passions when they're little, right? And they either get explored or they get dismissed.
Mm-hmm.
And this is where I think so many of our kids lose a sense of identity. And who and what they are is therefore put into a box. And you're valued by, can you do those facts and those figures? Those left brain, very left brain linear things. But that's really cutting off your soul. Because at the end of the day, you are the I am. And if you can't even be the I am, you can't create yourself, you can't even have an identity of you, then you're lost. Mm-hmm. And you wonder why so many people so later in life wonder, who am I? That big question.
Totally. Well, it reminds me of that song. I was watching Weeds on Netflix. You ever watch that show?
Mm-mm.
Oh, well, in the intro music is that song, Little Boxes Made of Ticky-Tacky, and they all look just the same, that one. And that's totally what happens in school, is that these creative divine beings go into school on the first day of kindergarten with just all the potential in the world, and then they just get it all hammered out of them, and they get squished into these little compartments that the teachers or the educational system or parents or whatever society wants them to be in, so that they can grow up to be consumers when they graduate or whatever.
Well, if you look at it, it's also very left brain.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very left-brain dominant society in the way that we actually structure education. So that very left brain, remember, you got two spheres. You got your left and you got your right. And again, when you're not integrating them, then you're not really whole. It's one thing I've seen, you know, having worked with gifted kids, there are very few, but some come in and they can download and they have a photographic memory, and that's really nice, but it doesn't say that I'm a creator. It doesn't say I'm using my creative abilities. And there's many gifted kids who come in who aren't crossing the midline really quickly and have slow processing speeds and really have difficulty with handwriting and a lot of other things in classrooms, but are utter geniuses and creatively brilliant. But they don't fit the box. And by the time they used to come to me when I used to run Silbury, they were squished like a bug. But I can honestly tell you, within a week, they already begin to flourish because, one, they could see that who they were. I always created curriculum around the kids. Mm-hmm. So I knew I always did what was required, but then all the theme-based, all the stuff, all the integration was about them, and they could see how it was relevant. And that was key. That is utterly key.
Well, it's interesting. You talk about these gifted kids who have learning issues and aren't able to write properly or whatever their dysfunction, I'm using air quotes here, may be. But, I mean, look at Einstein.
Oh, Einstein, Churchill, Patterson. The list is a lot of U.S. presidents. I think a few of your own here with us in Canada, right, all have had. There's tons and tons of world leaders that I would call more late bloomers. Mm-hmm. And then again, have you ever looked at your doctor's handwriting when they...
My God. Don't they learn that in medical school, though? Isn't it? Because you have to write so many notes that...
No. It's actually crossing both hemispheres. Lots of times, a lot of people are utterly creative. Have you ever heard of Nassim Haramay?
No, but I'm about
Nassim
to.
He does something with the unified field theory, and he's an utter genius. Had a horrible time in school, and when one of his emissaries came and was teaching some of the kids some of his thoughts, I looked at the instructor and I said, "He must be dyslexic." And the guy goes, "How'd you know?" And I said, "Because I can tell by the way he visually processes." Most of us, when we process information, we look at it, like when we see a wave, all we see is the wave. Hmm. But when Nassim does it, he sees it as a full three-dimensional, two torus field, sort of flowing in space. He looks at a ripple. He doesn't look at it like a wave. Look at it like a ripple in a pond. It's a very different visual.
Hmm.
But then what's happening underneath in the pond and what's happening with all of it, he can see it all. So when he's actually doing his unified field theory, it takes you to a whole different level of understanding where we look at it just, again, very, very flat.
Because
like
his perspective.
It's total
different.
Perspective. And all of our school books make it oftentimes look at very one-dimensional. So you look at that, and you can see the genius in that. But he just was, I think, really tormented. He makes a joke. He got further and further education as he went from one school bus further and further away from home. Anyway.
It's true. I mean, the further, it's almost like it's like when you have a life experience, and you're right in the thick of it, all you can see is the immediate what's in your face. And the farther away that you get from it, the farther removed you become, the bigger you're able to see the perspective. Like either it's someone that is, you're viewing someone who's having an experience and it's a lot easier. Like that's why you can always give your friends great advice. But when you're having a problem, it's like, I don't know what to do, right? Because you don't have the perspective.
No, you don't. You can't step away from yourself. But there's a lot of things that say become the observer.
Mm-hmm.
Step back and observe yourself and watch and see if you can do that for yourself. I have to say for myself there was a relationship that ended for me, and it got to be in the last year and a half where I could sit back and become the observer and decide whether that was going to work for me or not. And it didn't mean that one was good or bad, it just meant that I just decided that wouldn't be my story.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So I could step back and make a change in my life that I needed to do.
Well, imagine all the things that, whether good or whether you want to label them as good or bad or positive,
right,
or whatever, but I mean the things that have happened 5 years ago, 10 years ago, 20 years ago, if you're not just a freshman here at UBC today. But, you know, imagine if you could have that perspective in the present that you have 20 years down the road, like looking back at that experience, how it, you know, it sucked at the time, but it kind of led to this experience and that experience and all of those things that really have created who you are as a person.
Well, you know, you kind of remind me of the notion of the fractals.
Mm-hmm.
Because we are like, if you look at a pyramid and then you look at a snowflake, it builds and it builds and it builds. And we are always building ourselves in patterns. And we're building and we are repeating patterns until we literally become conscious of those patterns that we... Because if you think about it, you've gone from one boyfriend to the next and it seems like, hey, wait a second, he's doing the same kind of thing.
No, I take a break.
You take a break?
Well, not lately. I've been doing... You're not following me on Facebook, are you?
No.
Oh, God.
I'm too old to follow all these Facebook stuff.
Oh, geez. Well, for about the last 8 months or so, I've been dating up a storm. But usually I take like a significant break between partners because you need to step back and learn. But now I think I'm getting... Snapping my fingers. I'm getting better at learning. It's like, okay, I see what went well in this relationship, what I didn't like, and I'm much more able... doesn't take me 3 years of healing now to take what I needed to learn and move on. Now I'm just sort of like I've streamlined the process.
Oh, yeah.
Well, you and I have both done Dr. Joe Dispenza's work a little bit, right? Yes. We both did Dr. Joe's together.
I have to say, I have a little bit of a crush on him.
He is kind of cute. But he does some really interesting thing. I went to his level three just this last bit. That was amazing. But I love what he did. And this goes to your notion of boyfriends or any of us who are stuck in a pattern or don't really like where we're at. And he talks about how we can raise our vibration. We can also look at how we're not coherent between our heart and our mind. So your mind, to me, when I think of the mind, it's like the recording, the database. The brain is your database that says, I'm going to take that information and I'm going to decide whether it's going to be safe or whether it's going to be dangerous. Mm-hmm. And it's going to say, it's going to create a stimulus within me. It's safe, not safe. It looks familiar. You're not going to do that one again, right? And your heart, though, on the other hand, is the part that we kind of oftentimes ignore, but it always signals. And if you look at all the ancient wisdom and all the traditions, they always say, where is the God that's within you? It's in your heart. And there was it goes back to a poem that came to me when what I did in the book, and it talked about fractals being this thumbprint of God, which is, it was a gentleman by the name of Mandelblot. Mandelblot was worked for IBM, and he with the advent of computers, and if you look at his Infinity of Color, which is a great video worth watching, you can see these old-time computers that he actually became. And when he saw how these patterns repeated, it came, it almost looks like a heart. And so you can see that the fractal structure and the nature of the vacuum is heart, is like a heart. So it gives a, and the other thing it does, it's like a feedback loop. So this.
Well, that's almost, you were talking earlier about the energy frequencies and how the planet actually has,
yes,
a little heart shaped bubble around it, doesn't it?
Well, it's like a field. It's like a donut. A lot of people will call it like a donut shape that surrounds you. And, you know, depending, if you're, you know, when you get around people who are masters and you get into their field, people just say, oh my God, I got into his field. And it was like, whoa, it was big.
You can feel the energy.
You can feel the energy. Well, that's, you know, he's mastered that bit to be able to create that field around him that it's gotten so bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger, right? And that's one way of understanding. That's actually how we pick mates. Is we tune into their frequency again, right? It's like, yeah, I know that one. That's comfortable. I'm hitting there. Like, that one doesn't feel good, right? But they're all part of your signature, which are all part of your pattern replay. Mm-hmm. So imagine yourself as a light being, because all the ancient wisdom says you are a light being. So imagine that one sort of light comes, and when it fractures out, it goes into the seven rays of color. So we are basically, from the one beam, on the spectrum. Sorry, I say we're all on the spectrum, but in this level we're a bit more dense. And literally, we are literally more dense bodies. We are, you know, if you look at the spectrum of light and you look at how they show you from the tiniest particle to hard matter, we're the matter. We're way down here. And this is where mind makes matter. So we're creating from the light, we are crystallizing ourselves into form. And these forms are those little orbs that transcend and get in your body, that become your trans. They're your signature, and they're all straight geometry, but they are your signature, and you're emanating your light. So your tone and your character, like when the Bible says, when you speak the word, it is so, it is because you are sending out your vibrational tonal signature out into the world. Isn't that amazing?
That's like,
and then again, it goes back to, I am that I am. I am my spoken word. I am my own creator. I am creating my own reality every day with my tone. And that is my light going in and out to you. Right? So I'm actually giving you my light, or I'm either plugged in. I'm either giving you the plus of me or the minus of me. So when you think of the battery, how are you charged?
Well, we're going to talk about that in just a moment, because it is already time for a break. This hour is flying by. We are speaking today with Karen Elkins. She is the founder of Science to Sage, as well as the author of Inside Out. And what's the name of the magazine?
It's Science to Sage.
Science to Sage magazine. And so that's an online magazine as well. It's amazing. So you can go to her website, sciencetosage.com. If you want to get on the air and hop into this conversation for a second, the number is 604-822-2487. That's 604-822-2487. Happy Labor Day. Just a reminder that Synchronicity will be preempted for the next 2 weeks for the back-to-school shenanigans that will be happening here on campus. So I won't be here for a couple of weeks, but I'll be back in 3 weeks' time. So I'm going to leave you with a song, Little Boxes, and then we'll do the break, and we'll be back in just a moment. Mm-hmm.
Little boxes on the hillside, little boxes made of ticky-tacky, little boxes on the hillside, little boxes all the same. There's a pink one and a green one and a blue one and a yellow one, and they're all made out of ticky-tacky, and they all look just the same. And the people in the houses all went to the university, where they were put in boxes, and they came out all the same. And there's doctors and lawyers and business executives, and they're all made out of ticky-tacky, and they all look just the same. And they all play on the golf course and drink their martinis dry, and they all have pretty children, and the children go to school, and the children go to summer camp, and then to the university, where they are put in boxes, and they come out all the same. And the boys go into business and marry and raise a family in boxes made of ticky-tacky, and they all look just the same. There's a pink one and a green one and a blue one and a yellow one, and they're all made out of ticky-tacky, and they all look just the same.
Bond. James Bond.
Got to ask yourself one question. Do I feel lucky? Well, do you, punk?
You talking to me? You talking to me?
I just want to say one word to you. Just one word.
Yes, sir.
Are you listening?
Yes, I am.
Plastics.
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
Just a sweet transvestite. Come transsexual. Transylvania.
Where else can you see Hollywood blockbusters, midnight cult classics, indie films, live music, burlesque, stand-up comedy, poetry slams, and live sporting events all at your local theater? The Rio Theater, voted number one in East Vancouver. Your neighborhood indie theater that promotes all things cool.
This month, catch Cowboys and Aliens from the 1st through the 11th, a Harry Potter retrospective the 15th through 17th, lots of zombies on the 21st, and awesome midnight movies every Friday.
For more information, go to riotheater.ca.
Welcome back to Synchronicity Talk Radio for your mind, body, and soul. I'm your host, Marie Bernard. Thanks so much for being with me today. Today's guest is Karen Elkins. She is the founder of Science to Sage. You can check out her website, sciencetosage.com. She has an ebook called Inside Out, and also Science to Sage magazine, online magazine that comes out every month. And one of the things she also does is the Science to Sage promotes these speakers that come in. So many of the guests that we've had on Synchronicity have been Science to Sage experts, like Dr. Joe Dispenza and Michael...
Michal Ledwith,
and so many.
Lynn McTaggart. Did you have Lynn?
Yes, I did. Yes, and Malda? No, what was her name? With the curly blonde hair in the basement at Unity. What was her name?
Oh, Mata Elizabeth Thalian.
Yes. Many, many wonderful, lovely expert speakers, gurus, authors. So science2sage.com. Now, and if you have a comment to add to this conversation, give us a call, 604-822-2487. I'm thinking a lot of people are probably going to be listening on podcast at citr.ca or my website, spiritualshow.com, because it's Labor Day.
Yeah.
So I wonder how many people are actually in town and listening live right now.
That's okay.
Oh, well. It's all
I'm
good.
I'm having fun.
Going out into the ethers conversation. Woo! So, yeah, I'm glad to have you here live in the studio, a real live breathing person. Hooray! And I'm in here and I'm like so isolated in this little booth talking, and I don't get to see people's faces, and so I'm really thankful that you came out all the way out to the UBC campus to hang out with me today. So we were just talking about
the field. We were talking about the energy that you project into the world. So let's get back into that discussion. And when you are speaking, you said it so much better than I ever could. So
about the
words
field?
That you say.
Oh, well, thank you. I think one thing what we didn't quite left off was where Dr. Joe, when we did the workshop, and the last one that I did, I thought was interesting. Many people were having profound healings.
Mm.
And I thought what was interesting with that, it was the vibrational signature that we could raise the coherence between your thinking self and your heart self to bring some coherence into your life where you could raise your vibration to get yourself into another stream of thinking. Because you can't ever produce anything with the same way of thinking. I mean, every brilliant person has ever said that. So if you're going to do something new, you got to think something new. So mm-hmm. I like what Dr. Joe says. You got to think greater than your current situation.
That's why when you go like on vacation mm-hmm. or something and you get away from your life, you always come back with fresh ideas. Don't you find that?
No, you walk away from sometimes the same situations, the same groove, and it does allow, as long as you're open to it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I like that.
They're being loud out in the hallway.
Oh, that's okay. So anyway, yeah, I think there's so many people doing a lot of profound work. I think the other author that I really like is Michael Brown, mm-hmm. and he does the breath work. So the breath work, you know, we store so much within our cellular structure that we actually, when people go do massages or they go do different things, a lot of times it actually activates a pain body or a pain point in yourself where you actually release or begin to release, and breath work does the same thing. So there are ways, there are many, many tools.
So many.
I think to access the pain, like Edgar Tolle calls it, I love it, the pain body, right? The part that we store around and walk around with all of our, oh, poor me stuff, right? And at the end of the day, the only person who can ever get us out of that story is us.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody can fix you. Nobody can change you. It's you that live your reality. It's you that have to change. You're the one who has to think greater than your current situation.
So we talk about so many tools, and there are so many tools, and we were just talking during the break about all the great books that come through, and I'm just like, oh my gosh, I have like, I literally see my apartment. There must be about 200 books that I need to read that I haven't even started. I'm like on strike from reading because of the overload. And there's so many tools. There's so many great ways that can help us be better people and experience a greater reality. And it gets, I mean, to me, when you're bombarded with all these different techniques, you kind of like, I don't know what to do. I can't pick one, so I'm not even going to do any of them. So how do you pick what tools are great for you?
You know what? Here's what I did.
Because you must have the same with so many authors and speakers coming at you all the time.
Well, like I have the benefit of sort of sitting at the workshops and being inspired in some way to how to bring them in. But I think that the biggest question for me is I think when you, let's go back to the, when you're a kid, you have a personal signature of something that you've come here to do. And if it's not completely robbed from you, then that question is the question of your life. It's the thing that drives you. So when I was thinking of the book, there was always a fascinating question I had as a youth. And it was like, oh my goodness, look at this designer universe. Who created all of these frogs? Who created all of these trees? When I die, man, I want to go to God's designer heaven because I want to see who designs all this stuff, mm-hmm. right? And that was amazing. And so when I did the school, the thing that came to me, I want to know the heart and mind of God. And I think the key is to ask a question. The question is when you ask a question, it's like they always say, ask and the door will be open. So if you have an inquiring mind, your life becomes an exploration, a discovery. But the interesting thing is there really is nothing new under the sun. It's only you discovering aspects of you. So when I looked at the idea of the heart and mind and God and the designer universe and there's no one frog or no one kind of anything, that's where the book Inside Out came from. It was in the inquiry of it all. And it revealed to me, and what I actually like about the book, myself being a bit dyslexic myself, I don't want to really write a lot, but I did have a lot of insights, and a lot of them came to me when I was actually doing the book. The book is like a coffee table book. It is a visual book. Mm-hmm. So it's not something you have to read to get. It's something you have to see. And when you see it, you get the aha.
And the images are beautiful.
The images come from a couple places, you know, and it was really a treat to get the downloads, there were times that just tears streaming out of my eyes when I actually understood that, you know, like when you were talking about the battery, and you look at it, it's if the battery's like a source, it's a source of energy, and we're nothing but a resource of the source. So when you look at that, it's just like, yeah, we're made in the image of light and of God. We are a fractal piece of it with, you know, a little, we're God, but in a little, you know, in a micro. but we do have more power within us than we possibly have been gifted to know. You know, that most religions would say you'd have to live in faith. And I say, no, you know, we're here more profound than that. So when you look at the book, you actually get that you are an emanation of creation. We are patterns. We are fractal. That every piece of us is embedded. I mean, people can look at your eyes and read you. People can look at your ears and read you. People read your fingerprints and read you. People read the bottom of your feet. They read your hair. They read, you know. So imagine that every part of you is everywhere. So that happens within your body. It all happens within the universe. So everything is interconnected. That's why we can feel other people's fields. This is why we can see what we like and don't like. We don't have to, again, judge it, but we can sample what we want, right? It's life is an exploration. So when you think about being yourself dumped into school and having to fit in the box, there could be nothing more, unless you have a really good teacher, and there are those, right, that you could be stuffed in a way that actually literally crucifies the one that you are. So when you're little, we'll go back to, what was that question you had? What was it you hear? What was that individual part that you were going to come and explore? Who is the I am in that? Who is that? Mm. That's what you're here to do. You're here to be you. And the biggest test in life is not your test at university or in grade school. The biggest test is how you live your life. How you live your life is the test. That's the feedback loop. That's, again, the battery. What goes out comes back. What goes out comes back. So I think there's one of the videos that I watched with Michal Lethwick, and it said that God is within you. It's the part that says it's not that it's out there judging you. It's a feedback loop. So whatever comes will come back to you. So it's not that it's out there. It's in you. You have to live everything that you do. And that, to me, is when you begin to go, whoa, I'm responsible. I am my own mirror. I create my own reality. And that doesn't mean, and you ask, go back, what's the next question? How do you discover? I think when you get to a point and there's the next desire is asking you and beckoning you, right, to explore the next thing. So for me, the next thing after writing this book, I got the structure and the nature of the vacuum. It's there from fractals to actually even some alien stuff at the end and the one story. It's actually quite, I mean, because the little voice that said that woke me up at 4 o'clock in the morning and says, get up and write this book. Here's your outline. And the one thing it said at the end was the one story. And I said, the one story. And when you look at the book at the end, it shows image after image. It didn't matter if it was from Japan or China or whether it was from Greece or whether it was from Egypt or South America. Over and over again, the I call it the feathered fashions were the same. Some of the icons, the stuff are the same. And as my brilliant little 15-year-old son said to me, of course, Mom, it all came from Africa. What do you think it did? But you know what? You get it. You think it's all that story and this story and that story, but it's not. It has the same threads and the same mythology show up in a lot of places over and over again. So I think it's time that we look that we are one humanity, one story, one song, and if we can, like, if you look at the notion in the Bible, it says the Tower of Babel, or it says he conquered and divided us all. Why would a God conquer and divide us all? Mm-hmm. Why would he want to fracture us? And there's one other line in it that says, if they knew they were all one, there was nothing they couldn't accomplish. So I think as we're all looking for unity consciousness now to heal the planet, I think that is absolutely imperative that we actually look at our common threads and our common bounds. And we can solve a lot of the world issues if we do that. So the next thing for me is the mystical mind. Ooh. I love the idea of the mystical mind.
Okay, we're going to talk about that in just a moment. We'll be back. This is Synchronicity, talk radio for your mind, body, and soul. I'm your host, Marie Bernard, and we are speaking today with the lovely Karen Elkins. She is the founder of Science to Sage, the author of Inside Out, and also the author and producer of the Science to Sage online magazine. Fabulous, fabulous. So check it out, sciencetosage.com. We'll be back with more Synchronicity in a flash.
I swear to God, I'm not wearing just my underwear right now. This is Beth.
Hi, this is Beth Ditto from The Gossip, and you're listening to CITR 101.9 FM Vancouver. No, yeah, this is the best thing in the world. You guys are going to be blown away.
Welcome back to Synchronicity Talk Radio for your mind, body, and soul. I'm your host, Marie Bernard, and we're joined by Karen Elkins. So let's talk about the mystical mind. Ooh.
You know what? I had the most amazing sort of experience when I was doing Dr. Joe's Level 3 workshop, and he does amazing meditations in Level 3 and guides you through. And one of the last ones he did was on becoming your own hero, basically, and living your life in a much bigger way. And we're talking about relationships right now, and so we'll start with there. And so I think for me it was like, where in my life, where can I take in and receive and have that which I desire, which is that relationship. And what came to me in the meditation, and again, it's like the book, As Above, So Below. So what I got was that I could see that the seven planets were my seven systems within my own body, that the stars and all of it were like my cells. So all of a sudden, I begin to see that my walls between the division between myself, my body, and space began to dissolve. And within that, I could see all of a sudden I saw the Milky Way turning and yearning, and it was like, whoa, but it was like the beginning of a system. So it was like its milky dew was like the seed and actually the sperm of something. And when you actually take it, it's the life force that we often go, ooh, with a lot of the traditional religions. But if you can actually take the life force energy and pull it up through all of your system, some people call it chakras, whatever, pulling it straight up through you, you could actually ignite the whole, I'm going to call it the tree of life. Because what I actually did when I was doing the book, I could see that if you looked at the structure of the way the veins come up through your brain, the tree of knowledge is actually implanted in your brain. It is electric, and when you send out that electric signature out to the field, it ignites it. But it's not just the brain that ignites it. You have to have the feeling. So there's a part of the electric magnetic, you know, the loop, that little donut we talked about. Part of it's electric, so you're sending out the signatures, but part of it is magnetic, so it pulls back to you. So the thing that pulls back the thing to you is your emotion. So I could say frog, and you go, oh, frog, but I could say, whoa, gotta love that frog, that green frog, whoa. But then you get a feeling from it, right? That is what pulls. So like you have a date, and you sit there and go, yeah, he's kind of cute. Nothing happens. It's like, whoa, that guy's hot. Oh, gotta bring him over here, right? And so you know what? You put the energy into it, and then all of a sudden that comes in. But if you just kind of stay monotone and it's kind of flat and it's kind of boring, it's like there's nothing really much going to happen. So when you have those mystical experiences, you can see that your whole body ignites from that whole field of electricity that transcends this five-sense body, but it takes you in to the whole cosmos. So when they talk about the quantum field and accessing all that, it's like, yeah. So it just, you can just dissolve yourself into it. So I can see where those mystics of old, you know, what Jesus did or what the Tibetan monks do when they actually materialize things or dissolve or go into their caves or whatever. It's a knowingness that we are really one with all of it. You get to that perspective, and that mystical mind shows you the grandeur and the nature of who you are and the bigness that we are and the things that we can tap in, the things that we can ask for. Now, mind you, that takes a bit of mastery, and I'm still working on that one.
Yeah.
Doesn't it?
So how do you get to you meditate a lot, or do you do, like, what?
No, I'm a do bug. Okay. I'm a total do bug. So I do like buying Dr. Joe's meditation tapes or other people's meditation tapes that you can, you know, figure the thing that works for you. I think there's another one, that meditation that I like. It's moving meditation, that where I can move, because I'm a do bug. I mean, that's why I can do events, do the magazine, write the book. It's because my signature this lifetime is to do. Not everybody's is. Everybody has a different way of processing and needing to do it. You know, like when I ran the school, you could see some kids were profoundly gifted with intellectual, some were more creatively. So it's just allowing yourself to be that. I don't think there's one way. I think there's your way. Some people do walking meditations. I do that sometimes. And it just, like, I get those aha moments.
Mm-hmm.
The one thing that did happen a lot in writing the book is I would stay in bed later than I would normally do, and I would lie there, and in that quiet, still place, just downloads would come, and I just have to sit there with a pen and write and write and write and write, and it's like that got my marching orders for the day. So it's being tapped into the field. I think when you think about it, when we read and we do things, we oftentimes think it's us, and then we read, and then we go do something. But you know, if all these electrical currents are happening in our own body, we have our own neural net. then, and it's inside to the outside, then there's also a feel that's informing you if you're actually still enough to listen. Right? If you're still enough to listen and you go to that quiet place and you ask the questions, the answers come. If you look at any of these great people, they all had their aha moments, and it's when they ask the question and in that quiet moment, it comes to them. You look at Mozart, it came to him, he just wrote it, it flowed from him. It wasn't like he said he did it, it's like it flowed. So you got to look at how we get, I'm going to call it downloads. How do you get, you know, people got it in dreams, people got it in a flash. So all of those things are available to all of us. That whole mystery, miracle, call it what you want, and that it's not a miracle. It's actually available. We just have to know that we are more than just this body. Mm. Right? We are more than this body. This body houses our spirit.
Beautifully said. Well, I want to talk about, I think before we run out of time, let's talk about the guests that are going to be preempted, because we actually had two of Karen Elkin's experts that are going to be doing workshops coming up soon in Vancouver, and those are being preempted for the next 2 weeks. So let's talk about that so we don't run out of time.
Okay.
Linda M. Potter is going to be coming.
Yeah, Linda is it should be kind of interesting. Mind you, when I bring these people in, they're as much of a mystery in some ways to me as they are to you, because I've never seen them before. But Linda Potter is a comedian, which kind of be refreshing in the spiritual realm. And her book is If God Would Only Give Me a Sign. So she takes things that are common, ordinary, everyday things and says he does talk to you. He does talk to you. He just says, hey, you know, your luggage is too heavy, you know. So her whole thing is humor and actually being able to read the signs that come to us every day. So I think she'll be fun. She'll be a hoot.
Cool. So when's she coming?
She's coming on the 16th, on September 16th.
And is that going to be at Unity?
It'll be at Unity downstairs. And then I've got...
Unity of Vancouver, that's on Oak Street and, like, what, 41st?
42nd.
42nd.
It's right by there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you can find out more information about that at sciencetosage.com.
Yeah, there's an article in the August magazine that she wrote as well that kind of gives you a clue to who she is.
Cool.
Yeah. And then the next one that I have coming in is Shri and Kira. And she's a like an oracle where she actually transmits energy and does healings, and her partner sort of assists her. And they have the lineage of Tibetan, Guatemalan, South American, and Egyptian. And they have taken all three as a triad, and they're bringing some of those combined wisdoms and traditions together to transform and what they would call give you the quantum clairvoyance. So quantum clairvoyance would be, if you were actually, when we're looking at the mystical mind, we're looking at the quantum field. And what is it to be clairvoyant? Is to be able to see more clearly, to see things about ourselves, about our world that we see as we're in there, very much into the shift of the time that we're in. So it's bringing us into the light, the hope of the potential of who and what we are as a complete soul body.
Cool.
Yeah. So I think that when they're bringing in their pyramid and a few other things that they're doing.
Is that like a pyramid you put on your head or something?
No, it's when you actually sit in, and it's supposed to be quite healing for many people with many different kinds of diseases. And I will say they are dis-ease.
some of these like contraptions and stuff, though, you go to the wellness fair and you see them all. What's your opinion of them? We won't say specifically any one thing, but I mean, some of them just kind of seem kind of odd.
Well, there's some that are kind of fascinating. I don't know specifically ones. I know the ones that have sort of intrigued me from time to time when I go is the whole notion of, is the one you put your hand down and you see that aura, the color.
Oh, that's fun.
I like that one. But we are. I mean, when you think of a battery or you look at the field again, you at the end of the planet, you can see the Borealis, right? Well, if it's in the book, I was stunned. I was looking through Wikipedia, as we talked about, and all of a sudden I realized it too. I looked at the via going to NASA. Not only does that the Earth have a spout of energy that actually takes it out and breathes it in, it's no different than what you would call it your top chakra. It breathes out and it breathes in. There are so many ways that we are so like Mother Earth that we are emulating both alive, spirited. So we are a crystallized form, and so's the Earth. Right? Mm-hmm. So when you look at some of these things, it's a way of showing that you do emanate, that you do are radiant. There's another one. Okay, when you think of school, a lot of these kids that used to come in, I had this one kid come in, and he had been to many hospitals, almost killed him. giving him drugs to, quote-unquote, normalize him. Mm-hmm. And I had looked at a psych ed assessment, and I kind of looked at him and I said, do you see color? He goes, yeah, the yellow around you. And I knew at that point in time, when he was trying to read, he couldn't read because the colors were coming and shooting off the pages. So if you go back and you look at the things that you look at the shows, these people, you know, when you're later on in life, people would say, oh my God, you're a rainbow healer. Oh, you can see those things. But if you're in a regular system that doesn't identify those things, all of a sudden, you're becoming anxious, anxiety-ridden, so they take him to the hospital because he was anxious, and they're trying to give him medicine, but nobody knows why he is. And he looked at me, I said, you're a rainbow healer. And all of a sudden, he perked up, and he goes, oh, well, I'm going to your school. Right? Because he was seen.
Yeah.
Isn't that what we all want to do, is to be seen? So some of these contraptions are pyramid shapes, which have symbolic things. I don't get them all myself. So I think some of them resonate to me. I think the one that I did go to, which I really liked, was there was a lady that was there that was reading faces.
Oh yeah, I saw that booth, yeah.
Oh, and I went to her.
Yeah,
and man, she read my body. She was like, oh, okay. And there are people where there's body talk. If you look at all of the things that is the wisdom of our body, that's encoded in us, the intelligence of, that we don't even pay any attention to. And it's so important that we do, because if we can listen to ourselves, listen to our hearts, listen to our bodies, and our shape of our faces, the distance between our eyes, the more wide set your eyes are, the more big thinker you are. But they also create a lot of times issues with reading, because if at the midline, somewhere with your arms distance out, that's where you start seeing double. So a lot of kids who are having handwriting issues were seeing double. And yet what we were doing to them, calling them stupid, and they couldn't help themselves. So we would send them off to vision therapy. So there were many, many, yeah. Anyway, those are the crises that I see when there are so many kids that are mislabeled. Back to the show. So anyway, as far as products go, I think, you know, you just have to go see which one resonates with you. And then, again, go play. And if it doesn't call to you, don't go do it. Right?
Awesome. All right, well, it's time for another break. This is Synchronicity Talk Radio for your mind, body, and soul. I'm your host, Marie Bernard, and we are speaking today with Karen Elkins. She is the founder of Science to Sage, as well as the author of the ebook Inside Out and the online magazine Science to Sage. You can find her at science2sage.com. And there's a couple of speakers that are coming up this month that we were going to have on Synchronicity, but the show is being preempted for 2 weeks for back to school UBC shenanigans. So I will be back 3 weeks from now, and we'll be back with more Synchronicity momentarily.
Explore the convergence of media and electronic music when the New Forms Festival takes over the Waldorf September 9th to 11th. There will be VJs, installations, fabulous art, and great music. The weekend will also feature panel discussions, including a dialogue moderated by Mark Hosler of Negative Land, September 10th from 1 to 5 p.m. in the Waldorf's Leetag Room. Passes and advance tickets are available at Beat Street, Zulu, Red Cat, and online at clubzone.com. Learn more at 2011.newformsfestival.com.
Welcome back to Synchronicity Talk Radio for your mind, body, and soul. We are here with Karen Elkins. She is our guest today. You can find her at science2sage.com. And if you want more information about Synchronicity and me, you can go to my website, spiritualshow.com. And Karen, there's something that you wanted to say about the magazine.
When I wrote the book Inside Out, it has like 139 different ideas, and it's certain ones are laced in chapters. So what I did when I created the magazine, it was the opportunity for the experts in each chapter to expound on their concept. So like in September's issue, it's all on the heart and mind. So we have people like HeartMath in there, and we have Bruce Lipton speaking. And the reason is for them to take concepts and then run with them, because I might have a page that will give you an idea of something, but the magazine is built around deeper exploration of different topics. And some of the things that I have for the next three months coming in are really, really cool, because we're dealing with the science of sound, one issue. Next is how language, number, and communications, how we actually process it. There's a lady who's coming to write in the next month's issue, and it's interesting. When you have your ear and how you hear things has everything to do with whether you can even hear your own inner voice, if you can even self-actualize. And it's many kids in school, when they go to learn, and there's learning what a lot of people would call ADD. It's a deficiency in listening to certain frequencies. She can actually tell you when you turned those frequencies off, whether it was your mom or your dad, or girl, male or female, and exactly at what age.
Wow.
And she can actually bring those in. She also talks about there's certain bone conductivity, which will allow somebody to actually listen to their own inner voice, or when did they shut that off. So they can actually reactivate some of those things. So those are the kinds of really unique things that we add back into the magazine in depth.
Cool.
Yeah.
So the magazine, it's free, right?
No, the magazine, I need to pay for myself sitting there creating it, but it's inexpensive. It's $22 for the year, and it's 139 pages.
I posted it on Facebook.
Well, we're new, so the first couple months we're putting it up for free to get people into the groove of it, yeah. But it still is, it's pretty cheap considering I've got world experts coming in on every single topic, but I just need to pay for my seat time.
For sure. So, if you want to check it out for free now for the next month or two, go to sciencetosage.com, and then when you get hooked on it, then you can sign up for $22 a year.
And it's no issue is going to be the same. It's going to be really delving into ideas and core issues really deeply. So the book is just a broad spectrum where you get that, I am more than that. I do create my universe. Oh my goodness, this is how I do it. And the next is to go, wow. What amazing place we live in. How, you know, I think after I was done writing the book, you know, you go walking in nature and you realize the structure, and it is not random. You can see the Fibonacci, you can see the golden mean, you can see how everything is structured, and it's magnificent. It is, the world we live in is magnificent, and we do have a heaven on earth if we do actually just change our minds. It's as simple as that.
Mm.
Yeah, it really is.
Well, we only have a few minutes left in the show. Coming up at 1 o'clock is Parts Unknown here on CITR, so stick around for that. Happy Labor Day. Happy fall. It's going to be coming up pretty soon. Enjoy the last couple hours of summer, I guess. And so you were talking earlier about how Sri Ram Ka and Kira Ra, if I'm saying that right, they're going to be talking about the shift that we're going through. So I wanted to touch on what your view of 2012 is, because a lot of your experts that have spoken in Vancouver talk about 2012 and what's going to happen. So what's your take on that?
My personal take is after we're kind of looking at the book, is that there are parallel universes. I think there, when you look at a classroom, you can see that there's 30 kids and not any one of them has seen the same story. And I think we can jump, you know, and I've done it myself. You look at conspiracy theories, you look at, you know, what could happen with the planet, but again, everybody's playing in a different part of it. And that's whatever that story you want to be. Will we have earthquakes? Will we have this? Yes, we'll have all those things, I'm sure, because we already are. But they've already been and already existed. And as far as the planet heating up, well, the whole universe is heating up. So I think, you know, a lot of people talk about us going to a photon belt. I think a lot of us are experiencing a lot of intensity for us to clean out some of the patterns that haven't worked for us. And I think looking at ancestral patterns, I think it's time for us, if we want to make a better planet, if we want to make a golden age, then we need to become more, I'm going to say, lighten up and become more light. I think we need to find our place in our heart where we can create a better place and let go of some of the things that we think that are so important. And if we can just get to our heart and treat people a whole lot better, if we can get beyond our limited, I see so many people coming with patterns. See, the other thing I see is a lot of people need to make sure they show up for their greatness.
Mm.
People need to show up for who it is that they've come here to be. We get so stuck in our safeness and our need to be secure, and there is no security. The only thing that's guaranteed in this planet is change. And the only thing that we need to do is rise to become and to completely evolve ourselves. There's only one thing that's guaranteed is evolution. And it will either devolve or evolve. But anyway, it's going to keep on rotating, so we might as well make it a much better place. So as far as I'm concerned, pick your reality. I'm here to be a part of the creative force. Mm-hmm. So for me, this is all part of my contribution to making a better place, is to bring a more light consciousness. I do have a bigger vision of creating a center that would deal with a systems approach to learning, assisted approach to healing, because it's not just our kids that need quote-unquote fixing. We all need a little bit of love to heal and to get through some of those scars that have been sort of embedded in us in our own personal systems that really are not the truth of who of what we are or meant to be.
Hmm. So, and I wanted to ask you too, you mentioned that kids have this purpose. They come into the world with a purpose and it gets
squished like a bug.
Squished out of them. How did you always recognize your purpose? Did you need to go through some kind of healing to remember it? Like, can you, because I remember the things that I was interested in when I was a little kid, but I don't really ever remember. The only thing I really remember is thinking that I was going to be some kind of like entertainer or something like that. But doesn't every little kid, I mean, they look,
no.
They turn on the TV and
no.
You see that, right?
No. No, I've seen kids walk in, they want to be engineers, they want to be architects, they're very distinct in their fingerprints. So I'm glad you're doing exactly what you were meant to do. That is a beautiful thing.
Yeah.
So you know what? And that's what we're here to do. We're here to be that expression. We're here to have that experience. And that's why, as I say, there's no one kind of frog, there's no one kind of tree, there's no one kind of anything. And so for any one religion to say they've got the way and it's the only way, no. No, each of everything has a piece of something for us, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I grew up Catholic. I didn't do Catholic. I even became a Mormon for 2 weeks.
2 weeks.
2 weeks. And then I was blessed for myself, for my path anyway, to come across. I lived in L.A. I grew up, I'm a stateside kid, to go to Michael Beckwith and for Michael Beckwith to go to Agape. So he was one of the speakers that we brought in.
He's awesome.
He is amazing.
Can you help me get him on the show? He's like pretty cool.
Well, I can certainly make contacts for you. He is cool. And that was my teacher for 12 years.
Wow.
So that, yeah. And so as far as signatures, I think as long as we can actually honor the individual signature and fingerprint, and if we could create a system that actually did that. You know what I liked a lot for the people who came to the school? I always wanted to know when I had people from the Eastern Bloc show up, they were always brilliant. And I said, what did you guys do in your school? And they said, well, we always did left brain and then right brain activities, left brain and then right brain. And it stimulates both hemispheres. And so when we actually did Silbury, that was something that we did. We engaged both sides of the hemispheres. And that activates. You need that creative force. You need to know both. So genius is being able to activate both sides of those hemispheres. You have to have the processing in which to unfold it, but you have to have the genius and the creative aspect of it to be able to imagine it, to create something out of the box, to think. I mean, that's what Da Vinci and all these other guys, I mean, they could look at nature, they could look and wonder. And then, like some of the new sciences I think you're even doing here at UBC, is biomimicry.
Mm.
And biomimicry is where we're looking at the intelligence of nature, looking to redesign our society in a way that's more in harmony with nature. So, yeah.
Well, it's interesting, like, how do you, because that's what I feel like, I sit there and I'm like, I need to come up with a new idea, a new concept, and think out of the box, but I get so stuck in my old patterns of, like, how I've always thought.
There's nothing new under the sun.
I know.
So why don't you just, like, think about something you really love, and then just go do it.
Okay. We'll do that then.
Yeah.
That sounds like a lot more fun then.
All you're doing is exploring an aspect of the universe that's within you and about you.
Yay.
Yeah.
Okay, well, it's time to wrap up the show because Chris is walking in for his show, Parts Unknown, here on CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver. We've been speaking with Karen Elkins. She is the founder of Science to Sage, author of Inside Out, and also the online magazine Science to Sage. So you can go to her website, sciencetosage.com. You can go to my website, spiritualshow.com. Remember that the show is being preempted for fun, fantastic back to school shenanigans for the next 2 weeks, so you can tune into that, and I'll be back in 3 weeks time, I guess, for another episode of Synchronicity Talk Radio for your mind, body, and soul. It's been such a pleasure speaking with you, and thank you so much, Karen,
thank
for coming
for
to the station.
Me.
It's nice to see your smiling face. I haven't seen you since like the winter time, I think.
Yeah, it's been a while.
Yeah.
It's been a while. So thank you. Thank you for having me.
Thank you for coming on the show. Okay, so I'm going to wrap up with a little song. I'm playing this off YouTube, so I hope it's actually what it's supposed to be. All You Need Is Love by the Beatles, and stay tuned for Parts Unknown coming up in just a moment. Take care. Be well. Namaste.
be done. Nothing you can sing that can't be sung. Nothing you can say, but you can learn how to play the game. It's easy. Nothing you can make that can't be made. No one you can save that can't be saved. Nothing you can do, but you can learn how to be you in time. It's easy. Be